Book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 8. Let me say it's a real blessing to be standing up here behind this pulpit again. It's been a long, arduous journey to get where I am here today. Let me just say this as well. Thank you for praying for the pastor. We appreciate that. We went back to the doctors, and the four tears on my retina that they repaired were doing fine, but he did manage to find one other tear as well. You can just imagine when he was examining my eyes, and then he said, retinal tear, 2 o'clock, and you can imagine my stomach just dropped to the bottom, and there wasn't tears coming out of my eyes, but if I wouldn't be such a man that I am, I probably would be crying. And you know that's a joke, because I cry at the drop of the hat, amen. So, but he did say this. He said, I'm going to put you as a military says, light duty. And so Dinah was with me. She wanted him to explicitly spell out what light duty was to make sure. Basically, I can lift some things, still can't really bend over a whole lot, and I can study for little short bursts at a time, but don't go crazy. Don't spend all day reading, and I can read for a little bit. And so I'm thankful to be here today. Continue to pray for me. We go back in about 2 weeks. And theoretically, if the tears are going to happen, they should all have happened by now. But 3 months is the actual point where after 3 months, there shouldn't be any more. So you continue to pray for me. And I woke up this morning and got my preaching Bible out. And I did notice a little bit of cloudiness in my right eye today. But that can be expected as all the blood works out and things. So you just pray for me. And I continue to pray for you as well. This coming week, we might even call here at Sharon Baptist Church Stewardship Week. You say, well, why is that? Because we're beginning our stewardship campaign this week. And we passed out the stewardship cards, the total stewardship commitment cards that you have in front of you. Not only encompasses our time, but it encompasses our forward by faith and through our building program. And encompasses our grace giving. And that's what we're concentrating on this week, our grace giving. And we're excited about Dr. John O'Malley coming, and he's going to be preaching the Word of God for us Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and then we'll take Saturday off, and then Sunday he'll be here with us for both of those services. So I know you've been praying about it. We've been asking you to pray about what God would have you to give through Sharon Baptist Church to the work of worldwide missions, and so you continue to pray about that. You pray over those cards every day as you do your devotions and have your prayer time. Ask the Lord what he would have you to do. And then you just do this. You just put down what God would have you to do. And most of you have been here for quite a long while. We're not going to preach on the mechanics of grace giving. You understand all that. We preached and taught on it for years and years, and perhaps next year we might review it again. But understand this, that you can never outgive God. And if God puts a number on your heart, God will provide that for you. And oftentimes, and God doesn't miraculously just add extra money into your account, but sometimes what he'll do is he'll give you the understanding of how that you could save money to be able to do that. And may perhaps, instead of buying a Starbucks coffee every day on the way to work and then getting a nice cinnamon roll from there as well, that you'll just cut back to maybe once a week, and that money you save could go towards that. I don't know what God's going to do, but there's a number of ways that God can work in your heart and life. And let me say this, that we do believe that every person that has an income ought to give to grace giving, amen. You ought to give your tithe, you ought to give your love offerings, but also you ought to give to your grace giving. Let me just say, as a way of foundation for this morning's message, that it begins with the tithe. That's where the starting point is. If you're here today and you say, well, I'm going to give so much to grace giving, but you're not a regular tither representing the portion that God would have you to give, that you need to start there first, amen. Start there. And then when that's accomplished, you can say, okay, God, what would you have me to do? And so I told Diana, she said, well, you haven't preached in a couple of weeks. What are you going to preach on? And I said, well, I'm not going to preach on money, but about money. She said, oh, no, not your first message back. And believe me, I wanted to preach on heaven. I wanted to preach on joy. I wanted to preach on God, the great physician, but you know where we're at here today. I have to do what God would have us to do. And as we enter into this stewardship week, and as we enter into this thought of grace giving for our work of worldwide missions, we have to talk a little bit about total stewardship, which also includes our finances. So if you found your place, let's stand this morning as we read 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're going to be reading verse number 1 down through verse number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1 down through verse number 8. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own self to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do bow our heart before you this morning, and we come before you, Father, asking that you would speak to the hearts of your people. Oh, Father, no doubt most people here are regular and systematic givers. They give of their tithe, they give of their love offerings, they give of their grace giving, and they give to forward by faith. And Father, I'm thankful for those who are faithful in doing what you have expected them to do. So, Father, now as we gather here this morning and the Word of God is preached, not only for those that are here in the physical building of Sharon Baptist Church, but, Father, in the greater church, Father, all those that claim the name of Sharon Baptist as their church family, I pray, Father, for them that are at home, that, Father, you would speak to their hearts. And even, Father, as we would think about this area of giving, Father, I pray that they'll not be turned off, they'll not tune out, Father, but they'll be turned on and tuned in, Father, to what you would have for each and every one of us here this morning. So, Lord, we love you and we thank you. We seek to give you honor and glory through the preaching and teaching of your word and the manifestation of it through our lives and giving. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. As we begin looking at this thought of some common questions about giving, I'm going to ask and then answer about four or five questions concerning this area of giving. First thing, question I want to throw out to you this morning is simply this. What should my motivation be for giving? Or what motivates me to give through Sharon Baptist Church to the work of the worldwide ministry of preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ? I want you, first of all, this morning to understand this, that God does not want me to give out of a sense of duty or obligation. You know, oftentimes we do something out of a sense of duty or a sense of obligation. You might be in a large office complex and each person and the boss, the manager comes around and says, listen, we're asking you to give $10, everyone to kick in $10. We want to buy the boss this nice thing for Christmas. Whether you like the boss or not, whether you want to do it or not, guess what we do? We open up our wallet and we get a $10 bill out and we give out of duty or we give out of obligation. Understand this, that God does not want us to give back to him out of a sense of duty or a sense of obligation. Instead, God expects and desires you and I to give back voluntarily. And as we give voluntarily back to God, we ought to give with a grateful and a thankful heart, an expression of my love for God and for others as well. You say, well, why others? Because as we give our tithes and offerings and our love gifts and our grace giving through Sharon Baptist Church understands this, that we express our love to God by our giving, but also to other people as well, missionaries throughout all the world. And we give, and sometimes we meet the needs of people in the community. And so God does not want us to give out of a sense of duty or obligation. excuse me, in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7, the Bible says this, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You know, I found there has been times when I have given out of duty or obligation. And when I have done that, most of the time I don't give having a cheerful or a merry heart. I give because it's my duty. I give because I'm under obligation to do so. But God says that's not the way I want you to give. He said, I want you to give voluntarily and love, and God loveth a cheerful giver. Well, God doesn't want me to give just out of a sense of duty or obligation. Number two, I should not give in order to be seen of men. I should not give in order to be seen of men. I shouldn't try to use my giving to impress other people with my spirituality. Oftentimes we equate people giving their tithes and offerings and love gifts and big donations to the church with spirituality. Let me help you. That may sometimes be the case, because as we get saved and begin to spiritually mature in Jesus Christ, God begins to work in our hearts, and we begin to understand our obligation that we have and our desire to give back to God for all that God has done for us. And so setting that aside, there is some people who equate people who give a large amount of money with a desire to be spiritual. But just because you give tithe and offerings and give to Faith Promise and Grace Giving does not mean that you're a spiritual person. You see, I am to give, as the Bible says, as unto the Lord. I give to please Him. I give to please Christ and to lay up treasures in heaven and for rewards later on. In Matthew 6, verse 1, the Lord said this, take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen of men. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. So if you're under this idea that you're going to give a big fat check and you're going to let everyone know that you gave that big fat check, understand this. God says there's going to be no reward for you in heaven. So listen, you might as well keep the check to yourself. No, I didn't really say that. Go ahead and give it. Amen. And pray to get your heart right. Amen. Well, I think something else. Thirdly, I must be careful against using my giving as a means to an end. I must be careful about using my giving as a means to an end. You know, I should never use my giving to buy friendships. I should never use my giving to gain power or to gain influence or control over others. And a lot of churches, the most prominent people in the church are some of the richest people. And they give lots of money to the church, and the church looks at them as a person that's uplifted, maybe perhaps above everybody else. Sometimes, rather wrongly, that these people are often nominated for positions in the church, not because they're spiritually mature in Christ, because they hold the purse strings and they make a threat that if you don't do it my way, I'm going to take my money and go somewhere else. And so we have to be careful against using my giving as a means to an end. Understand this, and in Proverbs 19 and verse 4, the Bible says, wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. In verse number 6 of the same book and chapter, we find these words, many will entreat the favor of a prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. And how true those two statements are, but that doesn't mean that we need to fall into that category. Our giving ought to be done with a servant's heart. Our giving ought to be done with a pure heart that brings the Lord Jesus Christ honor and glory. Well, I think fourthly, we need to guard against giving money and things as a substitute. We need to guard against giving our money and possessions as a substitute. You say, well, Pastor Carol, a substitute for what? How about this? For giving myself, for giving my time, for giving my talents to God and other people as well. I've known plenty of people in all my years of ministry that God has given them great means by the way of money here on this earth. And they'll never show up for a work day, but they'll put a $500 check in the plate and say, just get done whatever needs to be done. Listen, that's not God's desire. We thank you for the $500, and we'll use it for whatever purpose that God desires for us to do. But He desires that you give yourself first. Giving your self, your time, your talent to God and to other people as well. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5, we find these words. And this they did, not as we hoped, but notice the next part, but first gave, notice these three words, their own selves. He said before they took up the collection and gave it for the saints of Jerusalem, he said they had already surrendered themselves. They gave of themselves first. And I believe you can mark it down. The reason they gave of them to the saints in Jerusalem is because they already surrendered to God to give themselves. It follows itself. You surrender to God and you're willing to do and give whatever God leads you to do. My giving has to be an expression of my heart that has been cleansed by the beautiful and wonderful grace of God. Well, the first question was, what should be my motivation for giving? And as we leave this first point, let me ask you this. What's your motivation for giving this morning? Well, secondly, we have this great question that a lot of people ask. How am I to give? How am I to give? I believe God gave, he gave his only begotten son that we should not perish but have everlasting life. God gave, and I believe that we need to give. How should we give? Let me give you a few simple ways that we ought to give. Number one, we ought to give systematically. That means you ought to have some kind of plan in the back of your mind. Most people today, because of the complexes of our finances with the housing and insurance and cars and 401ks and electric bills, and we could just go on and on, almost every one of us have some kind of plan that we use to pay the bill. You don't get a paycheck on Friday and go out and spend it all on Walmart on Saturday. Next week comes, you do that, and you get down to the end of the month, and you say, our mortgage payment's due. Pastor's truck payments due. What are we going to do now? No, you have some systematic plan that you use. And we are giving ought to be that way as well. We ought to give regularly, weekly or biweekly, however you get paid, sporadically rather than sporadically. And sometimes we find even in this days of pandemic that people, because they don't physically come to church, don't give anything to the church. And our giving ought to be systematic. We ought to have some kind of plan. Generally that, you know, you write your tithe check out, or you go to Tithely and you make the electronic deposit. It's usually the same day every week, the same time. It's the same amount. A lot of people work on salary. Their checks never change, and so they can go ahead and do that. And 1 Corinthians 16:2, the Bible said, upon the first day of the week. By the way, that's today, that's Sunday. Let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So Paul's saying, listen, go ahead and take the offering up on Sunday so I don't have to have this special offering when I get there for you. So come up with some kind of systematic plan for your giving. Look at your budget. Plan the giving of your tithe, the giving of your grace giving, giving by forward by faith, and plan it out. Write it down and stick to that plan. Well, we ought to give systematically, but we also ought to give quietly. And that means we already kind of spoke on this, but we ought to give without great fanfare. It should not be done to receive the praise of men. And so when you give something, you know, you just put it in the plate, keep your mouth shut, and thank God for that. I remember in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 and 4, where Jesus said, but when thou doest alms, let thy left hand know not what thy right hand doeth, that thy alms may be done in secret, and thy Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly. You see, it's not about the praise of men. It's about the praise of God. And God said, if you'll give your tithes and your offerings and your forward by faith and your love gifts and all that goes on in the generous giving of God's people and in through the local New Testament church, he said, I will reward thee openly. And our rewards are being sent on ahead of us up in heaven. We'll give systematically, quietly, but then how about this? We ought to give sacrificially. It's not enough just to have good intentions. It's not enough just to say that I have a plan and I'm willing to give. That sounds like a good thing. Let's have a plan. Let's give. Let's have good intentions. But God desires this, so to actually follow through with that plan. A systematic plan doesn't do any good if you don't put it into practice. It's kind of like most of our good intentions on New Year's. We create a list of things that we want to do. And I think statistics say that a majority of people before the end of January, and even I think it's 3 weeks, have already stopped doing those things that they plan to do. So we ought to have to give sacrificially. And God desires that you and I actually follow through with what we say we're going to do. In 2 Corinthians 9, verses 2 and 3, Paul writes this, "For I know the forwardness of your mind." He said, "I know in your mind what you said you're going to do and what you want to do. For which I boast of you to them in Macedonia and Archaia was ready a year ago. And your zeal hath provoked very many." So Paul's is commending them. He's saying, "Listen, I understand what you wanted to do in your giving." He said, "I told other people about your giving." But then in verse 3 he said, "Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I have said, ye may be ready." So Paul's just reminding him, "Listen, I spoke very highly of you to other people because you said you're going to do it." And he said, "Now, guess what? Now you need to perform it," in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 11. "Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have." So he basically says this, what you promised to do, you need to go ahead and do it. So we need to give systematically, quietly, and sacrificially. But then notice something else, number 4. Notice we ought to give abundantly. You know, God wants us to give today out of our abundance. And we give out of our abundance because we believe that tomorrow, if I have a need, God will use the abundance of others to meet my need today. I've seen it over and over and over again. And I know what you may be thinking. You say, "Well, I don't really have an abundance." I believe there's more abundance in your financial status than you really believe that there is. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 14, Paul says this, But by an equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, and for their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. So Paul was saying, listen, you give out of your abundance now, and there may be a time when you have a need and they'll give out of your abundance as well. Well, we need to give systematically, quietly, sacrificially, and abundantly. But I think there's a third question that we need to answer this morning. It's simply this. Where do I give? Where do I give? God has always had a place for giving. In the Old Testament, first it was in the tabernacle, including the storehouse, and then the temple in the New Testament. But today, we find that God expects us to give through the local storehouse, which is the local New Testament church. That is where your tithes and offerings and love gifts and faith promise ought to be sent through the local New Testament church. Well, we find where to give to our family. You know, see, me, as the head of my family, of Diana and my two boys when they were living with us, God has given me that responsibility to make sure that the material needs of my family are met. And this is not just my wife and not just my children, but also, get this now, the material needs of your parents. You know, one thing about societies, and perhaps Japan I know is one, and others as well, maybe Koreans, both North and South, and maybe other nations as well, they place a great precedence upon their forefathers, upon their mothers and their fathers and their family units. And I heard testimony before of you that stood that said, you know, I had to go to my mom's house and take care of this for my mother. She didn't have the means to do it, and I was glad to be able to do it and be able to help to my mother. And oftentimes as we get older in our years, we tend to forget about the needs of our aged parents. And so we ought to remember that. We ought to give to our family. However, as we give to our family, understand this, although there may be rewards from the Lord for you taking care of your parents, that's truly not given to the Lord. 1 Timothy 5:8 says this, if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So understand this. If you don't take care of your immediate family, don't take care of your parents, God says it's as if you are a lost person. You see, I'm to share my abundance with other believers who have needs, according to James chapter number 2, verses 15 and 17. You know, I'm to be particularly sensitive to the needs of widows and the needs of orphans. James 1 and verse 27 says this, pure religion and undefiled before God and his Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep myself unspotted in this world. So who are we to give in and through the local New Testament church? We're to take care of our family, watch out for the needs of widows and widowers and orphans. And I have a responsibility to meet the material needs of those who minister to you spiritually. Paul says this in Galatians 6:6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. So Paul was saying those who preach and teach God's word ought to have financial remuneration, ought to be taken care of for him. I'm to give financially to help support those who have given their lives to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 14, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. And so, my friends, I want to say on behalf of Diana and myself, and Pastor James and his wife as well, we thank you for taking care of us financially here at Sharon Baptist Church. What a great blessing it is for you to take care of us. Well, we have one more question. We get down to this question. Here's the big question. How much should I give? How much should I give? Understand this. That's really not a question about how much we should give. It's a question of this, understanding this, that God wants me to abound. That word abound means to be in excess. It means to have enough and to have some left over. It means to have some spare. Literally translates this way. It means to superabound in quantity and in quality. So God said, I desire that you abound in this grace, that you have enough and enough to spare in quantity and quality in this area of giving. You see, generous giving should be one of the outstanding characteristics of my life. And when God looks at your life, he's basically saying this, that he expects your giving to be an outstanding quality of your life. 2 Corinthians 8:7 touches on this. Therefore, as we abound in everything, he goes on to list faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us so that ye abound in this grace as well, this grace of giving. Well, we see, secondly, the tithe. You see, the Old Testament law required the Jews to give a tithe. But you know what? If you were to really study this area of the giving out of the Old Testament, you perhaps would not like it. If you would add up all their grain offerings, all the heave offerings, all the sin offerings, the feast of the ingathering, you would gather all those up. You would find out. Now hold on to your pants for just a moment. They gave 23 and about a third percent of all their income. God requires 10%, and the other percentage points was their love offerings to God that were commanded by God to give on these special days. Under grace, you and I ought to have a higher motivation and a reason to give than under the law placed upon the Old Testament Jews. And so I would say today that while Jesus commended the Jewish hierarchy for giving their 10%, he said, these things you ought to do, understand this, that we should have a higher motivation and we ought to have a higher reason to give even more than what the Jews did. Jesus said this in Matthew 5, verse 20, for I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. He's basically saying this, that your motivation, your reason ought to be more than it was before. He continues in Matthew 5 and verse 42, give unto them that ask thee, and from him that would borrow from thee, turn not thou away. Jesus is teaching that our motivation and reasons ought to be higher than the tithe that was commanded of the Old Testament law. And why is that? understand today that Jesus is our standard. In every area of our life, he is the standard for you and I to be measured by. The same is true in this area of giving as well. We need to give just as Jesus gave. Again, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, it says this, "For you know that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich." You see, no one is exempt in this area of giving. Every believer, every born-again person has a responsibility to give, and we are to give as God has prospered us. My giving ought to be an accurate reflection of how much God has prospered me, how much God has blessed me. In 1 Corinthians 16:2, we find these words. "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." You see, the level of my giving determines the size of the harvest that I will reap. You're familiar with Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Our Savior is speaking. He says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." We can simply say this, paraphrasing this in Pastor Carroll's paraphrase, that you can never, ever, ever outgive God. He said, no matter what you do in this area of giving, he said, "I'm going to give back to you in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom." Well, notice not only how much to give, but then notice lastly, notice the result of this giving. What is the result of this kind of generous giving? What is the result of this grace giving? Well, number one, my needs will be met. My needs will be met. You know, if I give God's way, God will make sure that all my needs are met. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 says this, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." You see, God's going to meet my needs. God's going to meet the needs of my children. Psalm 37, verses 25 and 26 say this, "I have been young," speaking about a child, "and now I am old, and yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed." You see, we could sum it up this way. The more I give, the more that God will give. This is the principle of grace giving. This is never the motivation to give. It's a result of our giving. So we're not motivated to give because we know that God promised to bless us back even abundantly more than we have given. It's a result of our giving. In 2 Corinthians 9:10, Paul says this, "But he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruit of your righteousness." I ought to be on TV and preach this verse. People will start sending us all kinds of money, amen. I could preach this out of context, and that's what they do. Understanding this, that as we minister and as we plant our seed of giving, God says he'll increase that and multiply your seed and increase, get this now, the fruit of your righteousness. And ultimately, God is going to be glorified. You know, I'll become more thankful. I'll be thankful for what God has done for me. And I'll give God greater glory for his blessings that have been bestowed upon me and given to me. Paul says this in chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, verses 12 and 13. "For the administration of this service not only supplies the want of saints, but is abundant also by the many thanksgiving unto God. While by the experiment," or in other words, by the proof of this ministration, the proof of this ministry, "they glorify God for your professed salvation unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men." Paul says, listen, you give and God's going to receive honor and glory. Not only will God be glorified, the more I give, the God will give back to me. But notice lastly, my faith is going to be increased. You know, as I give my resources, I'll depend upon the Lord in a greater way to supply my current needs. Because if you give, you know, forward by faith, we ask 30 families to give $100 a month. That's a good chunk of change. 20, and we had 20, how many missed them? 20, 26 people out of the 30 that we prayed about to qualify, that said, yes, I'm going to do that. We have asking you to give grace giving to missions, asking you to give the tithe in and through the local New Testament church, and to give your love gifts to in and through Sharon Baptist Church. And as we do that, and we have to sometimes look and say, okay, God, but, you know, I need this, and I got to do this, and God, what about this? And as we do that and write those checks and hit the enter button on Tithely, understand this, that I'm depending on the Lord in a greater way to meet my current needs here. And it will increase my faith in God supplying what I need. Malachi 3:10 says this, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there ye shall be, there shall not be room enough to receive it. So here we have a promise from God that you lay it down, and God said, I promise you this, that there'll be meat in my house, the windows of heaven are going to be opened up, I'm going to pour out a blessing, there shall not be enough room to receive it. Can you imagine that? Well, as we close, let me ask you this question. Are you giving God's way? Are you giving with the proper motives in your heart? You see, God's more interested in having your heart than he's having your finances. But I believe this, if God has your heart, he'll also have your finances. Are you giving God's way, the proper way, systematically, regularly on the first day of the week? Do you have some kind of systematic plan for your giving? Do you give the proper amount? I think the proper amount for local New Testament Christians today, a good starting point would be that first 10%. Remember, under Jewish law, they ended up giving total giving for a year around 23 1/3%. And then if they had a lot of trespass sins, offerings, guess what? It could go up and up and up depending on how you lived your life, amen. So give the proper amount, starting point of tithe, and give to the proper place in and through the local New Testament church, which your membership lies or your blessings flow from. You know, only when each of us do our part in this area of total stewardship, including this matter of grace giving, we'll be able to accomplish all that God has and intends for us in the coming days, in the coming months here at Sharon Baptist Church 2.0. So I guess the overriding question is this, will you do your part? Will you do your part? If you don't tithe, I wonder if you'll commit to God today to start tithing so you can be blessed of God the way he has promised. Maybe you felt that you can give your tithe anywhere you want, and you could send it to here and send it to there instead of in it through the local New Testament church where the man of God preaches and teaches the word of God, where the buses roll, missionaries are sent, and they try to reach the community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If that's you, understand this, that God is not going to bless that giving apart from coming in and through the local New Testament church. Maybe you need to recommit to this idea of grace giving. Maybe you had made a promise last year to God and you have faltered on that promise. Maybe today would be a good day to say, oh God, please forgive me. There's no way I can go back and give what I don't have, but I'm going to start afresh and anew. Maybe there's some that made a commitment to forward by faith that said, I'm going to give that $100 a month. And maybe some, I'm going to give 40, I'm going to give 25, whatever that was. And it works out to about 27 of the 30 that we were praying for when everything is combined together. Maybe you haven't been as faithful as you would. And maybe you think that's something extra that you don't necessarily need to do. And listen, you made a pledge. You vowed to God, I'm going to give that. And my friend, I would do whatever you could to go ahead and make that right and to continue to do that as well. Maybe you just need to recommit to this area of grace giving and say, no matter what, I'm going to give my tithe systematically and regularly. I'm going to give my grace giving systematic and regularly to the Lord. We're going to close with this verse, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse number 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. Listen, we discussed what that word abound means. God wants to give you what you need and even over above what you need. But it takes your part. You have a part to play in this. So would you do your part and thereby allowing God to do his part? Maybe you're here this morning and you say, well, this is crazy. Every time I come in here, they're speaking about money. Well, that's not quite true, amen. We do speak about money when we receive the offering and ask you to come in and put your offering instead of passing the plate. But truly, the Lord spoke more about money than he did about a lot of other things, amen. And so I think we have a responsibility, and once or twice a year as a good reminder for you and I to understand truly and have these questions answered. So maybe you're here, don't know Christ as your Savior. That's the beginning point. This is where it is. It's not about you knew all of us to start giving and tithing and giving forward by faith. First of all, become a child of God and let God work in and through you after that. Let's pray. Heavenly